Does everybody have a soulmate? I mean, is it possible that you don't have a soulmate? Is that even possible, Sally?
Well, you know my soulmate, so I've been very fortunate. You know, I have a soulmate. I'm very fortunate. I have a good life. I live my life trying to do good. I don't think people really, they live in a society right now, these millenniums, they don't understand the consequences of their actions. And they're being given so much in terms of entitlements, they don't have any basis for the kinds of things we're talking about. They don't know what their actions, they don't responsible for their actions. I mean, Facebook and Twitter, and you can look how they express themselves. It's like, you know, it will just go away and tomorrow's another day and they don't have to worry about it, but it will catch up with them. It will catch up with them. And I think, and I kind of fear for the younger people today.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
I completely agree with that, and I even on the news this last week when they were discussing spring break and they were showing clips of people just, it's become so out of control. This year was probably the worst that I've seen, and I thought to myself, oh, that's a perfect video to use to apply to any Ivy League college here. I was, you know, at spring break, at Fort Lauderdale. Look at my video. Does that not impress you? Here, now make sure you accept me into your college because of, you know, this particular appearance of responsibility. I just was being, you know, I thought they don't understand the consequences as you mentioned, Sally, about what they're doing. I mean, and again, this was on TV, let alone Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and they don't care. I think they think it will go away, and it won't. As we all know, they're collecting all the information everywhere, and they're going to store it, and it will come back to haunt them at some point. So
yeah. It gets into that whole karma question, you know, and I believe you own your karma. You create the good things and the bad things. And people today, there's just no accountability.
Yeah, the whole karma thing is interesting, Sally, to me, that this whole saying, you know, how we used to say, what goes around comes around, you know, and I guess I kind of believe that. Does everybody believe that?
I absolutely believe that. I believe that whatever actions you take today, you may see the results of them or you may not, but you may be passing them on. And we just all have to be mindful and responsible and know that our actions will have consequences.
Yeah, not everybody buys into that theory, as you've been saying, Sally, that the actions have consequences. I mean, the world is full of people doing a lot of actions that they think there are no consequences for. And it is really the way, you know, whether you're 12, 13 years old, whether you're 30 years old or 50 years old, I mean, consequences are so real and so appropriate. You know, I just had a conversation this morning about my son, who's 13 years old. And again, the problem is that he... you know, he has no accountability at 13 years old. And I said to his mom, I said, you know, there's no accountability for him. She wants to know why he's acting up or why he's breaking his computer or why he's acting the way he's acting. Well, there's no accountability. I mean, like, he doesn't think there's any consequences. You just buy him a new one. You just tell him it's okay. he can, you know, keep doing the same bad things. And what's the answer? You take him to Disney World. So what the hell difference does it make, right?
Exactly. But it's because it's the peer pressure, what they see other kids get, makes it so difficult for people to really define what their role is in life. I don't know if that really made any sense. Help me here.
That does make sense. And I believe somewhat in karma, to an extent. However, I tend to also feel that from a spiritual perspective, that even though there is karma, that as human beings, you know, if things have been done to us, that we should be forgiving of them because they have obviously not reached the karma that should be placed upon them. And I've seen that firsthand so many times. And therefore, I know for a fact that it's more a lesson of, to me anyway, a lesson of forgiving the person and letting God handle the consequences, because we're responsible for our own lives and our accountability, of course. And, you know, we reap, you know, what we sow, and all of those, you know, Bible verses that we've heard before. But I think that that there is an element of grace. I think that throughout my entire childhood, there are so many people, honestly, that deserve the worst karma possible. And whether or not they received it, I don't know. But the ones that I do know that definitely should have received it are either dead or have not received it yet. So.
Are you saying that they died because they died because of the bad karma, or they just died?
No, they just died.
Oh, you're not saying like they deserve to die or something?
No. They passed away. So there's no way for me to tell, you know, if later on, if they received, you know, what they deserve.
Well, let me ask you something, Erin. Let me ask you something, and I want to follow with Sally on that, because that brings up an interesting point when you talk about people that happened to. What about reincarnation? Is reincarnation, I mean, do you believe in reincarnation, Erin?
I actually do not, because I feel that we are created singularly, and I also believe that God created each person as an individual, and so therefore I don't think that we are going to come back as another person. I simply don't believe that, because I think that God has designed every person with a mission, and I don't think we're actually given a second or third chance to rectify, you know, any situation. You know, right. I could be wrong. We could go to heaven, and he could say, "Well, I'm going to send you back now as this."
Or maybe you're asked, "What do you want to be? What do you want to be?" You know, like maybe that's it. You know,
come back as a tree.
I was going to say that. You took the words right out of my mouth. What if it was a tree or a squirrel or something? I mean, it could be something like that. You know, I was just walking outside a little while ago because I need to get some fresh air with my little dog. And, you know, and he was chasing a squirrel. And I thought, I wonder if that squirrel is somebody I knew in a previous life. He probably come over.
I want to be a tree in San Francisco. I'll be protected.
Oh, God. You'll be in that sanctuary city business, huh? God help us, man. Wow.
But you know, this whole reincarnation, I agree with Erin. I don't believe in reincarnation. I lived in Asia for a while. I began studying Buddhism, although I'm embarrassed to say I've forgotten many of the different ways of teachings. But karma was one of the tenets that kind of spoke to me. And I think it might have had something to do with the fact that I'm such a control freak, and I figured I have control over my actions and get more control over my life. But because they believe that there is another life, this karma is so crucial, because they must live a certain way because they don't know what they're going to get from their previous life. They don't know what they might come back, and they'll get stuck with the bad karma. So as with all religions, it is a way to teach to be good. Now, I'm still on a spiritual journey. I don't know where it's going to take me. But I look at karma as kind of a less spiritual thing, and more in terms of you create your own fate. We don't have control over all the things that happen to us, the events, but I do believe we have a great deal of control over the decisions we make. And so I kind of look at it, I step back from a less spiritual aspect and just simply kind of believe I live my life in a general kind of pay it forward proposition. So I just, you know, and that helps me, but it's not from any kind of deep soul searching.
So, yeah, we're talking about this reincarnation thing. And I often wonder, like I said, I don't know if I'm going to come back as a squirrel, a tree, or what it is exactly. But I do get paused sometimes and not really knowing, because the Bible touches on reincarnation in some ways. And you never, one thing about religion is you can never get a straight answer. I mean, there are so many, really, there's so many religions and so many things about it. And it's like you said, Sally, you're trying to still find your purpose through all of this and figure it out. I kind of think we all can sort of relate to that. I mean, I believe in God. Does everybody believe in God?
I'm still working on that one too.
Well, you're still working on that, Sally. Okay. So you're agnostic then, huh?
I know there's a higher being,
right?
And I believe in God. I'm just trying to wrap myself in terms of feeling more spiritual, I guess is the way to say. I don't know if it's my mindset or whatever. I kind of just believe life is to be lived and not overanalyzed. And I find moments where I do look more introspective, but I don't do a lot of it.
Do you think, Sally, part of that reason is because you're sort of a control freak, and you are, not only in control, but you're a very rational person. You like to research everything, and you're very factual. And is that, you think it has something to do with it? Just you can't put your finger on it exactly, and maybe you're...
I think it has everything to do with it. Nice. I think it's just my mindset. It's because of kind of what we talked about before. Mm-hmm. Having to grow up and make decisions. And I just felt like nothing was going to happen unless I made the decision and I had to take care of myself. And so I'm much more dogmatic. I probably have more of a scientific, mathematical. There has, 2 + 2 has to equal 4.
Four,
and there's just,
interesting.
Common Core drove me crazy.
Common Core. You're not the Jeb Bush fan, huh? Okay.
But it's just, so I just don't overly analyze things. I mean, I keep life pretty simple. I just, I think I'm being thoughtful. You talk about healing the soul. And the question is, does every soul need to be healed?
Wow. Well, I could think of a few folks who could use a soul to begin with, let alone healing it.
exactly.
Yeah, and I thought.
But there are people that don't need to be healed. I mean, there are healthy souls. I think I have a healthy soul.
Yeah. Well. All right. So, Aaron, do you believe in God?
I absolutely do believe in God. I believe in Jesus as well. I believe in the concept of grace. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in those things being factual. And frankly, I take comfort in that, simply because along with all the things that have happened to me in the past, I've had to, because if you hold on to those things and the things that have been done to you, it creates a bitterness, and that in turn will create a bitter person, a bitter life, and therefore you spend your whole life just being completely bitter, and who wants to be around a bitter person? So not better, but bitter.
Yeah, so, right. Bitter, not better, huh? Be better to be bitter, or bitter better. I don't know. Bitter, better, bitter, better.
I think if you can, if you find yourself in a good place now, you know, I'm never bitter about anything that ever happened to me, and I had some really bad stuff, and I made some really bad decisions. But if I feel like I should have changed something, I wouldn't be in the place I'm in right now.
Right.
And so I think the healthy thing to do is to find a way to be comfortable where you are, and everything that happened before that is so immaterial, because if I had made one little change or done one little thing different, I wouldn't be here.
Well, and that's an interesting perspective, and I want to pick up on that just after the break here, a moment here. But I got to tell you, it's about living in the present, I think, is what you're saying, Sally. And I'm such a believer in that for a whole host of reasons. Yeah.
You know, there's a great saying my husband came up with: the windshield is a lot larger than the rearview mirror.
It so is. It so is. Let's talk about that after the break, too. And you're talking about healthy, and I want to take just a moment to bring in also our sponsor, Healthy Cell. I'm really digging this product. I started it 4 months ago, Sally, I told you all about it, you and Joe, so you know what I'm talking about. But it's a crazy product as far as just changing your life is what I looked at it as. I wasn't really taking care of myself, and I think a lot of us probably in that boat, and you know that, Aaron. We work 24/7. We work around the clock, right? I mean, you know. And some of the things I was hurting in, I wasn't sleeping right. My anxieties were sky high. And sometimes, you lack the energy, which I know some people say, come on, Mr. Out Loud doesn't have the energy. Get out of here. And Sally, if you've seen me the last couple of nights crashing, you'd have laughed. You'd say, I can't believe you crashed. You hit the wall, man. That's funny. But I actually did. But listen, so anyways, I started taking this Healthy Cell, and I really like it. I take two in the morning. The morning formula is different than the evening formula. The morning gives you more like energy for the day and that sort of thing. The evening helps you sleep, and it targets your cell. So it helps, because as we get older, our cells don't replenish themselves and they don't stay healthy, which is where Healthy Cell comes from. So Vincent Giampapa, who I'm anxious to interview one day, he's the inventor of the product. And so I like the product so much, I took it for 3 weeks. It changed my program. I told them I wanted to be a spokesman for them. They agreed. Don't ask me how or why, but they did. And so I asked for a special deal I wanted for all of our listeners across the network around the world. So we can get it for $79.99 versus $110 for the month. And you just go to healthycell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, and you get it for the $79.99 plus free shipping, by the way. It's no shipping charges also. We got that one in there. And or just go to AmericaOutLoud.com and the banners on the front page. Click Healthy Cell and get it there. But again, I'm proud to have them on as a sponsor of this show and on many of our network endeavors. They're really, really cool people. We're going to take on Life and Liberty right after the break with Sally Fernandez and Aaron Morgott on this Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
Hey, this is Sally Fernandez with Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. And we're here talking about all kinds of interesting things, starting with windshields are larger than the rearview mirror with Malcolm Out Loud and Aaron Morgott.
We're also talking about running around like a squirrel if you've been reincarnated, right?
Yes, and I'm going to be the tree in San Francisco.
You're going to be the tree and say, she just wants to be in that sanctuary city. I know she does. She wants to pay the liberals back for everything, right?
I lived there for 17 years. I kind
Did
of missed
you?
It. Yes. Oh,
in San Francisco?
Yes. We just moved to this secluded place in Florida.
Yeah. How did you live? How does a conservative live in San Francisco for 17 years?
Well, we have meetings in telephone booths with the other conservatives.
I could see that happening. I could see Aaron, I could see Sally in a phone booth now, one of those, what's going on? And you know, you could probably fit all the conservatives in the state in a phone booth.
Exactly. That was the point.
Man.
Most definitely. Yes. Yes.
Aaron, why is California so liberal? You live out there in LA.
I believe it has to do with the arts. I think that, honestly, I think there's an agenda. I think that the people that are behind funding that agenda, and whether it be movies, television, anything of that nature, they are the ones who are running it, and therefore they're encouraging their prodigy actresses, actors, what have you, to follow along and go ahead and proclaim themselves as of the left and Democrat. I've seen it time and time and time
but
again.
But you think the art community has a lot, the art. Well, I never understood that. And Sally, you love art. Why is it that these people who create, I don't know what you want to call it, movies and art and all of that, they all have one way of thinking. Aaron, I was almost going to put into your words into your mouth, but I decided I better not because you'd probably hit me. And I was going to say, like, you know, but like, it's almost like they're like part of the one world government status, the Californians, no? Or, you know?
And you hit the nail perfectly on the head. Because they actually do feel like that is part of the agenda. That is the agenda. The agenda is a one-world government, and that is something, as you know, I've been studying for a long time. That is, they're redirecting everything into that, which includes the political party. That's why a lot of my friends who are anti-Trump simply can't fathom having him as a president. It's creating chaos. All of that is being orchestrated by the Democratic Party and the left. And it's not going to stop. Again, it's an agenda. You'll see it in the movies. You'll see it on TV. And if you even mention in Hollywood that you are a Republican, God help us all, because they may or may not accept your show, book, what have you. And that really is the truth.
You know, to your point, Erin, I was talking to Dean Menzel, one of our co-hosts on the show here from Australia this morning, and she indicated that the Trump factor is really disturbing people around the world, that believe it or not, I mean, she confirmed today to me that it's a 24/7 coverage of Trump. Everything is Trumpified, and Trump and Russians, but it's all Trump, Trump all day long, and that people are getting really uncomfortable with it all and are starting to kind of poo-poo and getting tired of the American politics and all of this because it's so over the top with the media, she said. So it's not just here in the States where they're, you know, Trumpifying every piece of the conversation, but it's evidently around the world. Is that what you find, Shelley, as well, in Italy as well? Is that the case?
Well, what's happening is, and I haven't been back there since August, but what's been happening through Europe is they're coming up with these populist movements. So Europe itself is beginning to start to change. And I think Trump started that to some degree. And so it's going to be quite interesting to see where these social countries come out. I mean, we can already see, well, obviously London, UK isn't, but with the Brexit movement, the populist movement, they're starting to see waves in Germany because of the immigration problems. But a lot of the impact that Trump has had on the U.S. is kind of transcending over in some of the other governments, or at least with the people, I should say. So it's going to be quite interesting. But I'd like to go back to something that Erin said when she talked about Hollywood and their message. And I think they represent the same thing as the media. They're both, it's just the messaging. And they have a narrative that they want to get out there. And, you know, it's quite interesting because you'll see it on the East Coast as well, you know, in the major cities. But I think with the Hollywood movement, there's something about what draws you to be these creative people. And I don't know. I have actor friends, so it's not everybody. But there seems to be some insecurity, and they just kind of surround themselves with this one single message, which is very far left reaching. So, you know, we'll talk about it later in another segment, but I'm trying to get acclimatized into a movie. And this may be the time because there are more conservative actors and producers kind of coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, that is an interesting point. I want to talk about that down the road here about you doing a movie with that book you have. Sally, that is a fascinating conversation. We got to come back to that afterward here. But she's got a book out, Erin, Climatized, and she had NASA involved in this and all kinds of research she did on. And Sally's such a gifted author; her books are incredible. And I so enjoy her the way she writes, and but she puts the spotlight on this and really starts to unveil some of the, is climate change real, isn't it real? We're going to do a whole show on this, by the way, on life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. And obviously, Sally will be on that show for sure. But we'll dive into the whole climate change thing. I think it's interesting. I'm still trying to learn all about it. I don't know enough about it to know enough about it. You know what I mean? To say any educated guess on it. But I'm sure Sally knows a lot about it at this point, since you've done the research and wrote the book. Should be interesting. Aaron, not to go on that subject, but I'm just curious to ask you a quick question. Do you think, I mean, I'm just wondering, do you think climate change is real, or do you think it's all made up? Is it faux?
Well, I've been studying, since graduate school, I've been studying entropy. I've been studying the quote-unquote climate change, and also, you know, many other theories that are out there. Frankly, I believe that it could be happening now because of HAARP. It could be happening because of what they're doing to the frequency of the climate. And again, that's all, you know, pertaining to the government. And again, the people that I surround myself with and I'm able to talk with freely, along with you, Malcolm, of course, are people within my think tank. And in fact, my client, which I just finished dealing with, is Christopher Michael Langan, who has the world's highest IQ. He is my exclusive client, and if anyone knows anything about anything, it's him. And he studied all of this, including down to the frequency energy.
So what does he say about it? Does he say it's real or not real?
He actually says that it is, to an extent, not real, because I hate to be, you know, drawing. I don't want to speak for him, but I do know that if anything is happening now as a result of that, it is because of the government stepping in, including, you know, using Project Bluebeam and trying to make it appear as if things are shifting because of that. And also, it could also be because of the situation with the way the axis of the Earth shifted a bit ago. And so a lot of people aren't aware of that. That has caused phenomenal changes in Antarctica, for example.
Well, I think it's so. Like, listen, it's like it's like we find more things to fight about in this country and in this world, but certainly in this country, we find more things to fight about and disagree on. Rather, you know what I'd like to really see, what I really, really hope for, is I really hope that we could find more commonalities and focus on more of what we do agree on as a people, and what we do see is positive to improve the world as a whole, rather than always focusing on everything, all of our differences, and everything as to why we disagree with each other. It seems to me we focus as a society on all of the negative, and never do we ever focus on the positive, which really is the host of a whole lot of problems. Back to, you know, bad karma and all of that. Does that make any sense?
I agree. I absolutely agree with you.
I believe that a lot of that karma mentality has to do with energy frequency. I mean, you know, there are people who actually have measured frequencies, and I mean, you know, actually energetic frequencies that are on a low level versus a higher level, meaning a positive level, which is where we need to be, and that, again, gets into, you know, metaphysics and mathematical reasons for why things are the way they are. And there's nothing better that the left likes is for us to be constantly on the negative, i.e. negative frequency, and thus fighting and having chaos. That is also part of their agenda. They want that, and therefore that will help enable and set up, of course, what we are heading towards is a one world government, or a walled in state, if you will, which would be the United States of
interesting,
America.
Interesting perception there.
I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I'm going to have to check this one in. Sounds quite interesting because I do agree. I mean, Malcolm, you know, on this, the third book, The Ultimate Revenge, it was all about this Agenda 21, sustainable development, which was basically creating this kind of supernatural one world government.
Right.
But on this metaphysical side, it sounds really interesting. I haven't followed that.
So Sally, you believe the globalist thing is alive and well then. The one world government was a big deal, which is kind of where that agenda was going, which was really Brexit and Trump sort of are the anti to that all, huh?
Exactly. But it's still there. You know, there's still, you know, Maurice Strong, who was kind of running the whole show, he died a couple of years ago, but the UN is still very strong in trying to push this agenda.
You know,
it's just crazy out there. And, you know, this climate change, you know, from a scientific standpoint, you know, climate exists, climate changes, global warming happens, but the whole climate change debate, and I won't get belabored on this, has to do with whether or not humans are causing the climate change,
right,
whether we're producing too much CO2 into the atmosphere, and which is called anthropogenic global warming. The scientists that I know have evidence that it does not exist. We have very little influence over. So this is just a cottage industry that Al Gore helped trump up. That's about creating, you know, carbon tax and all these other things. It's a $1 trillion industry that they can't afford to allow people to know that it basically is a scam. And that's, so you talk about, let's look at the positive things. My guys, the scientists who have the evidence that it doesn't exist, are tired of this argument because they want to stop wasting money to perpetuate it and do the positive things. So it's kind of like, you know, let's just admit it doesn't exist. You know, windmills only work when the wind blows and solar panels only work when the sun shines. And let's just move on and just stop doing this nonsense and start focusing on things that are really important.
I think a lot of the climate change problems we're having is the hot air coming out of all of their mouths. quite frankly, the politicians around the world, and specifically in Washington, D.C. I really think that's the core root of the climate change problem we're having. Think about it, folks, is the lies, the deception, and all that hot, crusty, disgusting air that comes out of their mouths. Yuck. Yuck.
That's a great point.
Yeah, that's the climate problem.
I could agree more. And in fact, when you mentioned what I call entropy, that was the book I read when I was in graduate school. So that was a while ago. And in reading it, it concurs with what you're saying, Sally. It debunks the whole debate on climate change. And again, Al Gore is part of that whole system, who also claimed that he created the internet, which is another.
No, he didn't. He didn't create the internet. I created the internet, Aaron. I did. Malcolm did.
And the love story was about me.
And see, so we, yes. Sally and I got the corner stuff. Stop lying, Aaron.
but we all know that I actually did. So we'll just settle that argument right there.
The three of us are highly successful then.
Oh, well, look out, Al Gore.
Exactly. And in fact, you mentioned the Agenda 21 project. Last year, I spoke at the UN. I'm an NGO for one of the countries, one of 45 delegates, and I actually got to speak there. I've been representing them since 2013. And the topic was women and children's issues, and they were Agenda 21-ing to death everything, depopulation, everything. I mean, it was everywhere, and I mean literally everywhere. And so I got to see it firsthand. From different countries, different people. I sat in on meetings where it was like, They wanted to figure out how to help other countries, but really what they really want to do is reduce the population, and that would go into another topic on Bill Gates.
They can't even help themselves, let alone help other countries, my God.
Yeah,
hey, Erin.
Exactly. The whole concept of Agenda 21 is sustainable development that will outlive our resources, which is kind of counterintuitive to global warming, because more CO2 in the air produces more crops and more food.
It just all—it just all befuddles me. I sit here and I listen to you two. You talk about this, and my mind inside of me is actually—it really is. The truth of it is, my mind is telling me, "Are we really having this conversation?" I guess we are, yeah. And then my other part of my mind says—and I talk to myself all the time, by the way—and my other part of my mind says, "Well, why are people actually doing this stuff?" And I wonder, and I think, and I hear what you're saying, and I think, well, how true can that be? How hateful and cruel can people be? But then the rational part of my mind says, well, you know what? It's because they're after power and money. Could people be that devious? And is that really what they want, power and money? Listen, we got to take a pause right here. But life, liberty, the pursuit of pleasure, the terrific Erin Morgaert and Sally Fernandez and little old me, Malcolm Out Loud. We'll be back just a moment here. Stay there. We are excited indeed to be celebrating our one-year anniversary here at America Out Loud. And we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest-growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our one-year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, I'm not sure why we take our health for granted, but I know that many of us do, include me in that company. Recently, I had a couple of health scares that got my attention real quick. I started a new product called Healthy Cell. I took it for about 3 weeks, and man, I started to feel really good. I found myself sleeping better at night, had more energy in the day, and less stress and anxieties, and just feeling better overall. Well, with those kind of results, I knew I had to do something, so I reached to the company directly with a request to bring Healthy Cell back to America Out Loud, and here it is. Well, typically you'd pay $110 plus shipping and handling. Well, now you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan, plus free shipping. That's right, they'll pick up the shipping, and you pay just $79.99. Use the code OUTLOUD on HealthyCell.com, or just click the banner on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
This is Erin Morgaert, and we are speaking on climate change, but who is actually behind it, and why? And also, I might add, why are we still seeing chemtrails everywhere? And why are they now emitting lithium to the air to create us, create happiness amongst all of us, so that eventually we're all so happy, we're going to blindly follow the lead right into the FEMA camp. And who knows what will happen after that?
This is Erin's rant. This is Erin's rant, I think they call this, you know?
So we're all going to be on the Kool-Aid, huh?
Yeah, I think somebody's drinking something, man.
You haven't even heard the whole rant.
But, I can just imagine. I know. People look at you. You're so beautiful, as I always say to you, inside and out. But my God, I wouldn't want to meet you in a dark alley, Erin.
We could all go to Roswell together.
Exactly. And mind you, I have to say that the think tank I belong to, which includes all on LinkedIn with Chris as the admin and host, and now my client, there are only 78 of us. And believe me, we all agree on basically everything we've talked about this now.
You know what, that brings me to a point I got to share with you, Erin. Sally, I've been thinking about, you know, I've told you I want to do a worldwide foundation and all of that. Sally, remember? Yeah?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I want to save the world and all that. But you remember that conversation we had, right? I know we were drinking that night, but you've got to remember it. I know that.
But I thought we did solve the world.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, that's when you elected Trump to power, you mean?
That was a hold the nose kind of moment.
All right, all right.
Pull the lever.
But you know what, Sally, I would love to do a think tank, and that's one of the pieces of the whole Brink thinking movement as Brink of Greatness and all that, that I just so love and near and dear to me. We could do our own think tank, couldn't we, Sally?
If Erin can have
a think tank with all her cohorts, why can't you and I? Why can't we do a think tank, man?
I think we should. I see absolutely no reason.
You endorse that, Erin?
I would endorse that. And in fact, in the future, I could easily bring Chris onto the show if you would want him to be on the show. But all I have to say is beware.
Well, he's the guy with the high, is he the guy with the high IQ, or is he the another one?
He's got the highest IQ on.
Yeah, people like that, that disturbs me. Then people that are that smart that you say, I don't want to meet somebody like that. Do you, Sally?
Thanks a lot, Malcolm.
I didn't say you're a dumb cracker ass. Stop it. That's not what I said.
First, you want me to be in a think tank, and then you insult my intelligence.
Oh, man. Did I do that?
We'll have the East Coast think tank, and then Erin has the Left Coast think tank.
Oh, wow. Erin, you can be in charge of the Left Coast. You don't want that, do you? Oh, man.
Oh my!
But imagine all the good discussions we could have. We could really solve some of the world's problems. And the reason is you take out the emotion mm-hmm. and you start being reasonable about what needs to happen.
You know what?
And take away what you said before. Get rid of the power, the greed, the emotion, and you actually. Everybody would agree.
I just got a brilliant idea. Hold on. I got to share it with you. It just came to me just now. I love these brilliant ideas. Here it is. Let's do a think tank live on the radio.
Wow. That would be great.
I think that's perfect.
Wouldn't that be fascinating? You know, I always wanted to do the whiteboard exercise and have some of the most interesting minds in the room and really develop some answers to whatever that problem is of the day. You know, I kind of love that. That's a cool idea. Now, don't any of you steal that idea out there of me, but I love the idea of that. And I love the whole idea of a think tank anyways, getting, you know, just, I don't know, interesting, clever people together and doing interesting things. We'll have to talk more about that, but I'd love doing that in a way where we could put a microphone on that. I just always love the idea where it's all exposed out in the open, where it's not some secret hidden plan like Agenda 21 or something. I'm going to come and get you, you know, or I want to rule the world. You know?
Well, it's also more important because... You know, and I hate this term, it's already overused, but this fake news. People really don't have a clue to what's real and not real. And they need to start listening and making decisions for themselves.
Amen.
But they pick up their one soundbite and they run off, and that becomes the rhetoric for the day. And it's really sad that people are so ill-informed.
They're not researching it all down. You're so right. I'm sorry to see that you're tired of that term, because I'm writing a book right now that's called Fake News, The Out Loud Truth.
Well, I think it's a good title.
Well, it's all right. I insulted you. You insult me. It's all good. Go ahead, Erin.
No, I think it's a great title. And frankly, I stopped watching almost all of the news a couple of years ago simply because of I've been studying conspiracy theories, or should I call it the truth movement now, the truther movement, for over 17 years, and I've read every religious text that there is. There's one I won't touch simply because a friend of mine, who also is a Christian author and well-published, he said, don't even open up that book, and that would be Aleister Crowley's Thelema series, because that's a door that you don't want to open. But anyway... I've been studying that, including the Quran, and frankly, having read that and knowing what they're saying and how they're saying, oh, we're peace-loving people. Oh, so when you say Salah in this passage, but all Christians and Jews are pigs, therefore behead them. So is that peace-loving? So
wow.
What exactly do you mean? And really, so are they abiding by their own text, or are they pretending? My guess is they are trying to mix in with everyone else until the shit hits the fan, and then they're going to go at it. So, and also with that, the infiltration of all the immigrants and all the BS about sanctuary cities. Malibu is also now a sanctuary city. Hmm. Malibu, California, is a sanctuary city.
If I'm going to be an illegal immigrant and a criminal, that's where I'm going.
I wonder if I could have a sanctuary radio show. And what the hell that really means.
I just want a sanctuary. It's the truth. And so...
You know, that's actually another cool idea, Erin, you just give me, is what if we do a radio show with illegal aliens on the show? It's a reality show with just people who are illegal.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and we could even do one with illegal criminals, but that'd have to be remote. I don't want to be in their presence. But I bet you those would be a big hit for the left. They'd love that.
By the time we end the show, you're going to have 10 new ones.
I love these concepts. They're just coming to me. You guys are just good company, I guess. But I have all these great ideas. Now, if I can only do part of them, man, I don't know. My mind
now,
moves
the only thing about having a show like that or shows like that is you have to also remember the digital aspect of this. Your safety, our safety, and the IP addresses, and how they're able to locate you at any time in any way, and all of that. And so that would be my concern.
Well, you're right. They are doing that. Now, that's a fact. I mean, because, you know, back to the fact that they are watching everything we do. Now, a lot of you people out there, you know, I hate it when some of you folks out there say, like, well, but I don't have anything to hide. If you're one of the people that say, I don't have anything to hide, then you're a buffoon. Because, and people that say that, you know what I mean, though, ladies? You know, I don't have anything to hide, so I don't really care if they listen in to me or if they come in and, you know, rape all my privacy. It's perfectly fine. It's like, what does that mean? You're an idiot. I mean, I don't have anything to hide.
They don't think to the level of going down to addresses and bank accounts.
I mean, but it's insane, Sally. How stupid is that, that intellectual people say that? And some of the friends I got on the left actually say that. Well, it's okay. I don't mind if they monitor me all the time. I don't have anything to hide. And my next thing out of my mouth is, you're a jackass. I mean, so go live in another country somewhere. We don't want you here.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, right or wrong? How do you both agree? I mean, come on, you don't have any. I mean, we're all being violated right now. Go back and read George Orwell, 1984. I mean, and read it three times, and then come back forth and go read Alinsky there, his book. You know, the Rules for Radicals. I have a copy of it. I always keep handy when I want to get depressed and it's a rainy day and I'm depressed and I want to get drunk. I read that book.
Well, you know, Erin, you brought up about IPS addresses and safety. And I may have told you about Malcolm, but the second book I wrote, Noble's Quest, all of a sudden, both at my home in Italy and my home here in the States, where I have the same router and I have the same IPS address, whenever I do a search for anything, I look up Erin Morgart. At the end of the search stream, you know, we have all these little percentage signs in Google and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
At the very end, it always says birther. If I go to your computer, if I go to the store next door, it doesn't happen. Only in my home.
It says Eartha or Bertha?
Birther. Because my first book was about an illegal...
I'll
immigrant
be
who became president of the United States, and I have floor plans of the White House,
wow.
And I've researched everything about Obama.
Wow!
So they've already tagged me because I've done so much research, and it only happens when I'm in my home or I'm in my home in Italy.
You know what this means, Sally? You know what this means? that data center over in Utah. You know that big data center?
Yeah, the NSA. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what that means is that right next to the Out Loud room where they store me, they have the Fernandez room where they store you, probably, huh?
That's the problem, because now I'm connected with you and now I'm on a whole lot
of... Oh, now you've really corrupted your life. Oh, yeah. Man. I'll
tell you.
Now, and the good
Google
news
is, thing, but this Google thing is really interesting, and you talk about our safety and what they know, and the NSA. Well, Google was owned by Eric Schmidt. Eric Schmidt started a company called, something analytics. Civil analytics. That was the company that did all the data mining for the first administration.
That I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's so insidious.
Yeah.
And I just don't know any way out of it.
They're
and,
all sleeping know. With each other. They're all in bed with each other because they went against Romney so he wouldn't win in the same way. They did the searches against him. When you search for certain things, Trump wouldn't come up, but Hillary would. I mean, it's definitely a one-sided program. But isn't that the problem of the media as a whole? I mean, it's like, It's the power they seek. It's power and money. I don't know which is first, but they definitely want the power. I know that much.
They stopped being journalists. That's the problem. They no longer report the news.
The first chapter of my new book, Sally, is Walter Cronkite is dead.
Yeah. And, you know, my theory on why journalists are so liberal is I think it started back in the 60s for Watergate. Yeah. And everybody wanted to be a Woodward and Bernstein. And then it just became more and more insidious that they just don't report the news. They all want to have an opinion, and it's become fake news. You don't know what to believe anymore.
You really don't. I mean, again, it's back to that fake news term, but it's because everybody has an agenda, and everybody uses the agenda to their own ability. It's all about the power, again, they seek, pretty much. And I think we're all in agreement with that for sure. There are a lot of cool people in the world, though, and to think on a positive note, as we leave all you guys with some positive thoughts, I think there's an awful lot of good news in the world, too, and I just don't think people are reporting it. There are a lot of great people and awesome folks all over the place, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. And there's great programs that are very powerful, and nobody knows about that. There's so much divisiveness and hatred, and it's I agree with you. I'm trying to find some really positive stuff. That's in my walls. It's very positive. But outside, I have some major concerns about what's going to happen over the next several years. We've become so polarized. And it goes back to the news. Nobody gets anything good.
You're doing awesome work, Sally. And Aaron, all of the stars of this show, all of the co-hosts are amazing people. But I know you both are doing amazing work. I want to tell folks to take just a moment here that, again, this show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, is that, you know, as we're just getting wound up here in season one here, obviously, but you'll meet all 10 of these extraordinary women from around the globe. I mean, we got them from Monaco, Australia, Denmark, and we got them from Hollywood and all over the place, all over the world. Really, really cool people. You can catch the show every day, by the way, at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can get it on any of the networks. I mean, you can get it on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, any of the places that you can catch America Out Loud. But you can also get it on our apps. I don't know if you ladies know this, but about 75% now of all of these radio programs, whether it's radio or podcast, either one, they're all being listened to now on the smartphones, the phones.
Oh, I know they are, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes, as my children informed me, definitely.
I mean, they're all getting it from the phones. It's insane. I mean, so everybody's on the smartphone now, and you just know that's a fact of life. It's like a third hand and a third foot for all of us, and, of course, a second brain. And for some people, it's a first brain, unfortunately. But it is so true how smartphones have, like, taken over the world. They've become, like part of, they're a body part, actually. We're going to talk about that ahead, too. But anyways, we're going to talk about all kinds of things on this show. But 5 p.m., we stream on our apps. Go get the apps on Android or Apple. Just type in America Out Loud Talk Radio, and you can get the apps. We stream 24/7, all of our program. And tell your friends as well to get the apps. It's all free. I mean, we're not here to make money. We're just here to entertain you. La, 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 la. But get the apps and tune in every day at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, what I'm also doing here, though, I've asked the network, we're also going to run it at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every day. We know there's going to be a huge following for this production because of the uniqueness of it. And so you can also catch us at 11 p.m. that day. And if you miss us on that day, the following day, we will be podcast and we'll be on America Out Loud. So you can catch us that following day. But if you want the newest episode live each day, 5 p.m., And that's how you'll find us every day moving forward now in season one. You'll catch this show with these extraordinary people. Our goal is to solve the world's problems, and have fun doing it. And we'll be talking about things like world peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change. As I say, big business, big ideas, and big egos. The women have big egos. I don't. My ego is really small. Nothing is off-limits, as I say. Do you think I have a small ego or a big ego, Sally? Tell me, quick.
It is very out loud.
Oh, baby. Aaron, do I have a small ego or a big ego?
I think it is just perfect for you.
Ah, she's kissing up. She's kissing up, Sally.
She's sucking up.
You know she's looking for something she's going to hit me with later on, some sort of a favor or something she needs. But you know that's coming.
No, I'm highly aware of being it's my my military training. It's exactly how it should be. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's kind of how you feel about it. I know. One of the things ahead I want to do a show on too, Aaron, with you and some of the other great women we have, is about that cyberbullying, which we can't talk about it now because we're just about out of time. But you had a major experience in your life about cyberbullying, and we're going to bring that to light in some of the shows for sure. And of course, Climatized, the great book that Sally's got out there, and we're going to be talking about some of the cool things that she's got and how NASA got involved in that project. It's very, very cool. That's kind of one of the cool things about this show is that every one of these women are not only extraordinary, but they have such unique backgrounds. The only dud in the group is me. So I just get to hook my wagon to you all. What do you think, ladies?
I think, Aaron, we're making them look much better.
You see, I finally needed some dressing up, Sally. I told you that since I met you, man.
Well, I love this. I love you being outnumbered.
Oh, there it is. There it is. All right. So life, liberty, the pursuit of pleasure. Thank you all for joining me. And of course, Aaron and Sally, I love you both. You're awesome, awesome people.
Well, we love you.
And so are you all out there as well. Spread the word about this awesome show. We're going to have a ball on this thing. I can feel it coming. I'm really super excited about it. AmericaOutloud.com, folks. It's the vision of the voices.